What a privilege it is to study the Word of God, the holy, infallible, inspired Word of God. This is Arnett McEntee welcoming you to another meditation from the Family Bible Hour. Boyd Nicholson brings the message today, and he does so as he considers the persecution of David. It's taken from Family Bible Hour program 1839 and is meditation 81. I sincerely pray that you are going to be blessed as you study the Word of God with us today.
Thank you, Arnett, who asked God's blessing in our program today. God, our Father, we thank Thee for these beautiful pictures in the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus and our responsibility to Him. We ask Thee to bless Thy Word to multitudes today, that they may give their heart, their allegiance, and all that they are and have, to the friend of sinners, the one who died upon the cross. Receive our thanks, Father, and bless thy word, we pray, in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Our lesson comes today from 1 Samuel chapter 18 to 20. You see, in all our lifetime, there are but a very few to whom we can entrust our hearts, and of whom we can say, the Lord hath given. Jonathan was just such a person. That's the meaning of his name, Jehovah hath given. What a valuable gift as a friend, in whose love we can trust, and in whose confidence we can utterly trust. Someone wrote, "Oh, the comfort, the inexpressible comfort of feeling safe with a person, having neither to weigh thoughts nor measure words, but pour them all right out just as they are, chaff and grain together, knowing that a faithful hand will take this and sift them, keep what is worth keeping, and then with a breath of kindness blow the rest away." Jonathan ranks amongst the bravest of men in the army of Israel. He was a courageous warrior, fleet of foot, of unusual strength, not only skilled in the use of the sword, but he was also an archer of no mean ability. Yet for all his military prowess, it is his friendship with David that marks him out. He exemplified all that is noblest in true friendship. He was, as we might say today, a man's man, of great personal courage and military bearing, but in one day he was overcome by a deep admiration for the young shepherd of Bethlehem. This strapping young man of the fields and hills had accomplished what none else, or indeed all of the army of Israel, could do. David had killed Goliath, the enemy of the people, who had filled them all with fear, and he did it with a sling and a stone, and his faith in the Lord. Jonathan recognized in this young shepherd the character of a savior of his people. Indeed, by reason of his position as prince of the realm, he saw in David a personal savior. Without him, Jonathan would have been a slave of the Philistines. While the thousands of Israel shouted at the victory of David over Goliath and rushed to reap the spoil from the fleeing enemy, Jonathan had eyes for one alone, the victor, David himself. There are multitudes today who are ready to shout in exuberant praise of the good shepherd who died at Calvary and wish for all the benefits of a heaven gained by that sacrificial death, but they have no desire for the Lord Jesus Christ himself as a personal savior and friend. Jonathan's admiration was not just some frothy hero worship. It was a profound love, real love serves and is sacrificial. If those qualities are absent, so is the reality of the love, no matter how sweet the music, nor how poetic the words. Jonathan virtually renounced his rights in favor of David. He signified this by stripping off his princely robe and giving it to David. More than this, he entrusted David with his very life. He made himself defenseless by yielding up to David his sword, his spear, and his girdle. That was a great step of faith for a warrior like Jonathan. Abdication is one thing, but disarmament is another. This is really what we have in Romans 6, verse 13. Yield yourselves. That is abdication of all rights to reign. And yield your members as instruments. And the word there really is weapons. That is disarmament of the members as weapons of unrighteousness, that they might become weapons of righteousness unto God. It's easy to praise a person when he's basking in the glow of popularity, but to stand up for a friend when he is persona non grata with the group is a brand of courage we could wish there was more of. Jonathan was that kind of a friend. A friend is a friend whichever way the wind may blow. Saul, Jonathan's father, was actually seeking to kill David, and right at this time we read, Jonathan spake good of David. Good for Jonathan. Oh, for friends like this. So many are willing to give lip service in private, then when the opportunity arises to speak a word in defense of a friend, in public, silence. Dumb. Weak. Spineless. Silence. Shame on us, if this be so. But it wasn't so with Jonathan. He gave a good confession of his beloved David. How many times it has been with us, who are believers in Christ, when our beloved Lord Jesus, our Savior, has been maligned or blasphemed, and we've kept silent because it was not popular to speak a word for him in the place of his rejection. God help us to confess him before men who neither know him nor love him. But love is never static. It ever gives and gives for the delight of the beloved. Jonathan yielded more than garment, gold, or glory when he said, Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee, David. That's true willingness. Willingness is not to a work, nor a place, nor even a sacrifice. Willingness is to a person. This kind of willingness is an absolute. Without reserve, without retreat, without regard for the consequences, it is willingness for the will of the beloved before we know what that will is. Such was the love of Jonathan for David, and such should be the quality and measure of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. In all this lovely character, we'd rather pass over one shadow. Yet it is recorded that when David fled from Saul, Jonathan went into the city. And again at their very last meeting, we read David abode in the wood, Jonathan went to his house. What is Jonathan's garment, and Jonathan's sword, and Jonathan's bow, and Jonathan's girdle, if Jonathan himself is not there? We mustn't be too hard on this lovely character, Jonathan. He was a man of strong loyalties. He recognized his filial responsibilities to his father. Divided loyalties are always a sore burden, and he chose to return to his father and not to go out with David. And many hearts are divided today. Children who love the Lord and yet feel they must submit to parents, though unbelieving. Wives are devoted to Christ, yet also loving, unbelieving husbands. Let's not be too hard on such, if we ourselves have not felt their pain. To have the heart torn is to suffer a pain no medicine can cure, and no surgeon can repair. David raised no criticism of Jonathan, though surely his loving heart broke to be parted from his friends, and in weeping we read that David exceeded. Indeed, he recognized the strength of Jonathan's loyalty to his father when he lamented at their death, and he said, In their death they were not divided. Nevertheless, Jonathan's choice had a sad outcome. The last time we see lovely Jonathan alive, he's still the courageous warrior, loyal son, in battle with the Philistines, the army of Israel, was defeated and fled at last, and the contemplation of the sight is almost too painful to dwell on. Saul and Jonathan are caught and slain, with Saul's two other sons there. Their bodies are desecrated and hung as a spectacle on the wall of the city at Beth Shan. What a sad finish to a lovely life. Paul feared a sad finish. He said, "Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away or disapproved for reward." It's sad to consider that there are some of the Lord's beloved saved by grace, but whose lives are not saved from disgrace. Surely we tremble at such a thought. Well might we remember the warning of Scripture, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." While there's a deep sadness in the words of David's lament in 2 Samuel chapter 1, yet there's a touch of the grace of God in it. For the last glimpse we get of Jonathan is through the tears of his beloved David that sees only good and loveliness in his friend. Listen to David's epitaph for Jonathan. "The beauty of Israel, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, lovely and pleasant, swifter than eagles, stronger than lions, how are the mighty fallen? O Jonathan, I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me, thy love to me was wonderful." As we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Deliverer from an enemy worse than Goliath of Gath, what it cost him to save us, surely we ought to love him with all our hearts and hold nothing back. Perhaps it would help us to sing the words of A. Gordon's lovely old hymn with sincerity. "I love thee because thou hast first loved me, purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. 'Tis thou who art worthy, Lord Jesus. 'Tis thou." O God, we thank thee that he is worthy of our allegiance, our undying loyalty, our unswerving love. We bless thee for the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. Help us, and the multitude who hear thy word today, to recognize their obligation to Christ and their need of Christ, and give their hearts to him. For we pray it in his precious name and for the glory of our Lord Jesus. Amen.